She was hungry. By 11 in the morning, we were already hungry. It wasn't because of the country air or the journey by bus. The feeling in our stomachs was fear. For years we had lived with this hunger, this fear. And when the smell of the cooked food was under our noses, our heartbeats throbbed in our temples, our mouths watered. I looked over at the girl with blotchy skin. We shared the same longing. The string beans were served with melted butter. I hadn't had butter since my wedding day. The aroma of the roasted peppers tickled my nostrils. My plate was piled high. I couldn't stop staring at it. The plate of the girl across from me was filled with rice and peas. "Eat," they told us from the corner of the room, more an invitation than an order. They could see it, the longing in our eyes. Mouths sagged open, breathing quickened. We hesitated. No one had wished us bon appetit, so maybe there was still time to stand up, say thank you. The hens were generous this morning. An egg will be enough for me today. Again, I counted the women around the table. There were 10 of us. It wasn't the Last Supper. "Eat," they repeated from the corner, but I was already sucking on a string bean and felt the blood surging up to the roots of my hair and down to the tips of my toes, felt my heartbeat slowing. "What a feast you've prepared for me. These peppers are so sweet. What a feast for me, on a wooden table, not even a cloth covering it. Ceramic dishes from Aachen, and 10 women. If we were wearing veils, we would look like nuns. A refectory of nuns, who've taken vows of silence." At first, our bites are modest, as though we're not being forced to eat it all, as though we could refuse this food, this meal that isn't intended for us, that is ours only by chance, of which, only by chance, we are worthy of partaking. But then it glides down our throats, reaching that pit in our stomachs. And the more it fills that pit, the bigger the pit grows, and the more tightly we clutch our forks. The apple strudel is so good that tears spring to my eyes, so good that I scoop bigger and bigger helpings into my mouth, wolfing them down, until I throw back my head and gasp for air, all in the presence of my enemies. My mother used to say, eating was a way of battling death. She said it even before Hitler, back when I went to elementary school at Braunsteinstrasse 10 in Berlin. She would tie a bow on my pinafore and hand me my school bag and remind me to be careful not to choke during lunch. At home, I had the bad habit of talking non-stop, even with my mouth full. "You talk too much," she would tell me. And then I actually would choke on my food because it made me laugh, her tragic tone, her attempts to raise me with a fear of dying, as if every act of living exposed us to mortal danger. Life was perilous. The whole world lay in ambush. When the meal was over, 2 SS guards stepped forward. The woman on my left rose from her chair. "Sit down, in your place." The woman fell back into her seat, as though they had shoved her into it. One of the 2 braids coiled at the side of her head, loosened from its hairpin, dangling slightly. "None of you have permission to stand up. You will remain here, seated at the table until further orders. If the food was contaminated, the poison will quickly enter your circulation." The SS guard scrutinized us one by one, examining our reactions. We didn't breathe. Then he turned back to the woman who had stood up. She wore a dirndl, so perhaps she had risen out of deference. "Don't worry. An hour will be enough," he told her. "In an hour's time, you'll all be free to go." "Or dead," remarked his comrade.